Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and I am speaking today with Andrea Gleaves and Linnea Woody, and they are both with the DC Coalition Against Domestic Violence. We've been talking to a lot of different prevention practitioners in the work. DC Coalition Against Domestic Violence had recently been one of the 19 Delta PrEP programs, which was a program to support domestic violence coalitions in advancing their primary prevention work. And we have just seen recently released results of some of the work that each of those Delta PrEPs have done. And as I was reviewing it, I was really excited to read about the work you're doing with social media. Andrea, let's start with you. And can you describe what your social media strategies have been?
I got into social media when I first got to the coalition. I actually did not know much about Twitter or Facebook or how to use that. And I just realized that it was such a creative way to engage people at every level. So you have organizational, you have individuals, and it's such an interesting platform to reach so many different people. And so I kind of took on that task of really using it to engage not only our member programs, but community members here in DC specifically. And it's been really interesting to see our Twitter followers grow fairly quickly over the last several months and to use it to really push some of these prevention messages that we have been picking up at Delta PrEP around healthy relationships and conflict resolution, spreading awareness.
I find it an incredible way to just learn what's going on and great way to share information and explore ideas with colleagues in the field.
I got involved because that's where all the news was happening. If there was a breaking story here in D.C. or something was going on with the D.C. Council, that's where they first broke it, was on Twitter, and 140 characters or less.
Why don't you describe some of the work that you've done? Purple Thursday, that's really interesting. Why don't you describe what Purple Thursday is?
Purple Thursday started at the coalition a few years ago, the last Thursday in October, which is obviously Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we wanted an event that could get the whole community involved. And it was a really simple ask. We just wanted you to wear purple, whether it be that necklace or a scarf or a really fancy purple suit. We wanted you to wear it and show support for domestic violence survivors in the community. And then we decided to take it online this year. And we wanted people to just share their pictures with us of that day on Twitter and on Facebook. And we turned it into a contest. And we got some really awesome submissions, some pretty crazy. Member organization Break the Cycle, they went all out. They had purple boas, feathers. They dragged community members off the street into their pictures. Saw a lot of people really excited and promoting the event all month long, getting ready to go crazy with purple.
It's fun and it's great to see. What you're doing is creating a reach. And so how do you measure some of what the impact of your social media campaign around Purple Thursday?
Great thing about Twitter, especially as we move forward, is that initially there weren't a lot of insights to see who was following you and what the impact was. And now there's a lot of really great little tools that you can use to track that. So there's Follower Wonk, which is a lovely little site where you can actually go and see who's following you, what part of the country they are from. We're in D.C., so we really hope that in the follower walk we have a lot of people in D.C. following us because that's where our impact should be focused, and we do. You also see the most popular hashtags. So for us, obviously, our work is around ending violence against women and intimate partner violence, and so we want to see those hashtag VALA, hashtag domestic violence in our followers. And so we use that. For this event, specifically Purple Thursday, we actually came up with a tweet that we wanted everyone to tweet when they were sending pictures and community organizations to use. We actually did it in partnership with the chair of the DC Council, Kwame Brown. He was like, I want to see this tweeted so many times. He and his staff and I worked together to find the best way to track it. You can actually go to hashtag tracker, and it will actually update with the most recent number of tweets that you've got in the last 48 hours. Launched it that morning, and we saw the tweets just pile up and pile up. And you can save those hashtag searches, and it will tell you how many people tweeted and who is the top retweeter and everything for you.
And you had over 500 tweets, and you said that over 30 local government and national organizations participated in this effort using your hashtag.
We announced it early in the month, actually just before October started, and said, take this purple pledge, encourage you, people you work with, your family, to dress up on the Purple Thursday. And we sent them reminder emails, and we let them know that there were prizes for their participation and how to use Twitter and Facebook so they could participate on that day. We had over 30 agencies sign up, and we even had pets dressed up in purple and a lot of participation.
using social media is really helpful, and you've been doing this around some of the prevention focus, and I'm going to talk a little bit about your flash mob, but I first want to talk to Linnea a bit about how does social media support the D.C. Coalition Against Domestic Violence overall, and how does it strengthen your profile and ability to be able to affect change within your community?
Social media is just an excellent platform to embed our work throughout the community. While primary prevention is something that we are really, really focused on, there's so many other things that we do within the organization that social media can help support. We do a ton of trainings at the coalition and can use social media just to put blasts out there to the community, begin the conversations that we would not naturally have the platform to use it for. Start conversations with kids, older people. We can just really get into the community on different levels and see what's on people's minds and just use it as a tool for communication.
When I started in this work, it was our newsletters that we put in the mail, and we did bulk mailings. And now the internet has changed much, and I think that Twitter really creates those water cooler conversations of people who aren't necessarily in the hallways together, and it's a way that we can find out the breaking news and to be able to really share ideas and build a community. It's amazing how many people I know just because we follow each other's tweets.
People aren't talking to each other as much as you used to see them, but everyone has their phone. Everyone's looking down. You're out in a crowded place, and people are breaking out their phones. Something must have happened. All types of breaking news and things you find through social media. So we find it's just an excellent tool to get the message that we're trying to send out quickly.
Andrea, can you talk a little bit about your flash mob and how you use social media?
We had a staff meeting, and we were just brainstorming ideas, and our executive director, Karma Kottman, was like, let's do a flash mob. And I looked at her, and I was like, my sister is a dancer and a choreographer. We can make this happen. It was kind of a family effort. My sister did the choreography. She actually filmed it in Utah, made a YouTube video so that we could train people here in D.C. on it. And we sent it out to our list. We sent out tweets saying that we were doing something really awesome and amazing for DVIM. If you're interested, email so-and-so. And we had just over 150 people on this listserv wanting to learn the flash mob and participating with us. Had dance practice here in our office. We kept hyping it. We were being like, we hope everyone shows up at Farragut Square on Farragut Friday. Be there at noon. Don't be late. We had a lot of people come out in the rain. I don't know if you can tell in the video, but we're dancing in the rain. And it was just really great to see a lot of our community partners come out and support us and dance with us on that day.
If you go to the D.C. Coalition Against Domestic Violence website at dccadv.org, their YouTube channel, and find that, or we'll also have this on Prevent Connect's website where you find this podcast. I've been talking with Andrea Gleaves and Linnea Woody, who are both with the D.C. Coalition Against Domestic Violence over in our nation's capital, and I'm really pleased to be able to hear what work they're doing. I actually just sent a tweet saying, having a great interview with them, and sort of not necessarily rude to take your phone out and think it actually is something that's going to strengthen the work we're doing and showing the networks. So thank you so much. I'm glad that you were able to join me today.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.